Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Right now, Yevgenia Kara-Mirza is living a nightmare. Her husband is behind bars in Russia, charged with spreading false information amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But he is finding ways to speak out by sending notes out of jail through his lawyer. The Washington Post just published his latest one. And she is finding ways to speak out as well, on his behalf. She's doing it right here. So what does she want the world to know? That's one of the questions for this week's podcast. So let's cue the music. I'm Brian Stelter, and this weekly Reliable Sources podcast is our chance to go more in-depth, talking with media leaders and newsmakers, exploring how the media world works and doesn't work. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has put a spotlight on press freedoms and how fragile they are, as Russia has stamped out independent media and has criminalized some reporting. On April 11th, the prominent Kremlin critic and Russian opposition leader Vladimir Kara-Mirza was arrested. The arrest came just hours after CNN aired an interview with him. In the interview, he called Vladimir Putin's government a regime of murderers. Kara-Mirza has used many platforms to speak out against the Kremlin. He has been a prominent figure and a contributing columnist for The Washington Post. That's one of the many hats that he has been wearing over the years. But what happened on April 11th was disturbing. He was charged at first for evading police, which is something you're going to hear his wife talk about and the reasons why that is so suspicious. But after initially being sentenced to a 15-day term in jail, he is now facing much more severe charges, potentially a 15-year sentence. So his wife, Yevgenia, is boldly telling his story, speaking out, and fighting against Putin. I taped this interview with her on Thursday, June 9th. She was in Washington at the time, and I asked her to try to tell the story from the very beginning, back when she met her now husband. Yevgenia, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you very much for having me here, Brian.
Can you take us back in time and tell us about meeting Vladimir and getting married to him? I think when you're getting into a marriage, when you're starting a new life, you can't imagine being in this circumstance now where you have to be on TV trying to win his release. So tell us the beginning. Tell us about the beginning of your all's story.
Well, I would have to take you back, because we met when Vladimir was 10 and I was 11. At school, we were classmates in Moscow, at a Moscow school, and we've never lost contact with each other. Then he went to the UK, finished school there, and went to Cambridge, and I continued studying in Moscow. I graduated from the Moscow Linguistic University, and then we got together toward the end of our studies, and since then we've been, well, inseparable. That's a lot of years. That's about 20 years. Vladimir is much better at keeping tabs on that than I am. They say that men usually forget the dates. In our family, that's me. I can never remember anything about dates and when, what happened when. This is Vladimir in our family. He does that for both of us.
When you think back to those days, when you think back to your wedding, what life did you expect? Where did you expect the two of you to go together?
You know, I make it a rule to never expect and to never make plans, because as they say, men make plans and God loves. So I knew who I married back then, because Vladimir was exactly the same. He didn't change. And that's what I love about him. He was just as stubborn, just as determined, and just as principled in his position back then that he's now, just the same as he's now. Nothing changed about him much. It's just that maybe the dangers weren't that close to our home. But even then, we knew what was coming because we knew who was at the head of our country.
So he didn't change. It's just the world around him changed and the people in power became more menacing, is what you're saying. So tell us his story and your story in recent years. What was he doing in recent years, maybe for an American audience that doesn't know, what was he doing in recent years that attracted the wrong kind of attention?
Well, basically, Vladimir has been in opposition to Vladimir Putin's regime since Vladimir Putin came to power. And that's over 22 years ago. Since 2010, Vladimir has been very much involved in advocating for sanctions, for personal targeted sanctions against thieves and murderers in the Putin regime. He began this work with his friend and colleague Boris Nemtsov, who paid the ultimate price for this advocacy in 2015 when he was assassinated in front of the Kremlin, literally in front of the Kremlin. And 3 months after that, my husband was poisoned for the first time by a team of FSB operatives whose only job is to physically eliminate the opponents of the Putin regime. In 2017, my husband was poisoned again because he refused to stop. He continued his work. And thanks to a brilliant independent investigation by Bellingcat and the insider, Der Spiegel, we now know the names and the faces of those people who tried to kill my husband twice. This is the exact same team that had followed Alexei Navalny before his poisoning and that had followed Boris Nemtsov before his assassination. We now know that that the Russian government actually uses a specific team of assassins within the Federal Security Service to physically eliminate the opponents of the regime. But Vladimir refused to stop again, and he recovered after his second poisoning and went back to his work and continued fighting Putin's regime. And in early April of this year, he was detained in Moscow for speaking out against the war in Ukraine. And he was arrested on some absurd charges of disobeying a police order. The official police report said that on seeing the policeman, my husband changed the trajectory of his movement and tried to flee, which in fact couldn't have happened because my husband had just driven up to his apartment building in Moscow, parked his car and was still sitting in it when he saw five policemen run into his vehicle. They asked him to leave the car. He asked them to identify themselves. They refused to do that. They dragged him to a police van that was stationed nearby and took him to a police station where he was denied the right to call his lawyer. And he was left there overnight. On the next day, April the 12th, my husband was sentenced to 15 days for disobeying a police order and sent to jail for 15 days. We knew right away that this was only the beginning. We knew that the Russian authorities were using this as a pretext to hold him, to give themselves time to find some more serious accusations against him. And this is exactly what happened. My husband was supposed to be released on April the 26th, but on April the 22nd, new charges were initiated against him. He was charged under new law that was adopted only 9 days after the war in Ukraine had broken out and is punishable by up to 15 years in prison for disseminating, as the government calls it, knowingly false information about the use of Russian armed forces. So basically, by calling this war a war, by denouncing the Russian army's war crimes committed on the territory of the sovereign state of Ukraine, by talking about civilian casualties, by calling to stop this war, a person can get a 15-year prison sentence. As many as 58 criminal cases have already been initiated under this article, including my husband's case, against Russians who dared oppose the war. And the detention stories, according to OVD Info, which is an independent media project on political persecution in Russia, over 15,000 people have been detained across Russia since the beginning of the war in Ukraine. Detention stories compete with each other in their Kafkaesque, nightmarish absurdity. Two men were detained for holding peaceful, silent protests with copies of Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace in hands. A St. Petersburg artist was charged and is now facing up to 15 years in jail for switching price tags at a local supermarket with anti-war messages. She spending 2 months, I believe, in pretrial detention, she has recently been moved to a psychiatric hospital for evaluation. So we're going back to the Soviet times, where opposition, dissidents were seen as either criminals or just sick people who needed to be treated because they were obviously mad to oppose the regime. We're going back to those times. A priest was detained for speaking against the war in his Sunday sermon. Several people were detained, taken into custody for staging a protest, as the official police report said, holding invisible anti-government signs. So this is the reality of today's Russia. This is what we're facing. But it also shows that this image that Putin's propaganda machine has been creating, this image for the West that seems to demonstrate that the Russian people somehow supports Vladimir Putin and supports his war in Ukraine, has nothing to do with reality. These people, those 15,000 people, go out in the streets to protest, knowing quite well that they would be detained, that they will be arrested, thrown in jail, probably humiliated and tortured. And they continue protesting. And this gives me hope. It means that people do realize what is happening in reality and they are prepared to risk their safety, their lives, to stand up to this regime and to raise their voices against the war, the bloody war in Ukraine. This gives me hope that Russia can be different, that Russia deserves a different future, a democratic future, and that Russia deserves freedom.
There has been so much of that resistance in recent weeks and months. But thinking back to March and that anti-journalism law, when it was passed with that 15-year potential sentence, did you and your husband talk about making a change, about not speaking out, about was there a fear that his time was coming up?
Well, we have always known about the risks. The risks have always been there, and they were very tangible since 2015, since my husband's first poisoning.
The poisoning.
And the murder of Boris Nemtsov. Yes, but it would be, I think, quite hypocritical of me to try and dissuade my husband from going back to Russia. This is his... He believes in what he's doing. He never wanted to become a revolutionary. He never wanted to be in opposition. What he wanted was to be elected to run for Russian parliament and to make laws, make life for all Russians better. This is what he wanted. He wanted to become a Russian politician. But since we are now dealing with a Putin regime, a regime built by a KGB officer, we need to fight it. And Vladimir has been very consistent in his beliefs, and his and as a Russian politician, he believes that he needs to be where the Russian people is fighting this regime, and he believes that he would not have the moral right to call on people to continue fighting if he himself were somewhere safe. He believes that he needs to share the same risks and the same challenges that Russians back home are facing. And this is why he went back again and again and again. He believes that he needs to show people that they should not be afraid, that if there is something that they believe in, they should find the strength and the courage to stand up for their beliefs, to be able to fight for them.
Vladimir had just taped some TV interviews, including a notable one with CNN, right before he was detained. Do you believe that the TV interviews were connected to the reason why he was swept up at that time by the authorities?
I know that Vladimir is being charged. He's being accused of making this speech at the Arizona Parliament legislature, where he denounced the war crimes committed by the Russian army on the territory of Ukraine, and where he spoke about the shelling of maternity wards and about civilian casualties. And of course, he repeated the same message on every platform available to him, because this is the right thing to do. Because when we're facing such monstrosities as what the Putin regime and his army are doing on the territory of the sovereign state of Ukraine, we need to speak up. We need to attract attention to what is going on, and we need to fight that propaganda, Putin's propaganda, that tries to create this image of a liberating war that the Russian forces are leading in Ukraine. And Vladimir has always believed that publicity is a very strong weapon in the fight against evil. Because it is much easier to commit crimes when no one's watching. And by raising awareness about what's happening in Russia, about the mass repressions in Russia and in Ukraine, we make it harder for those in the world who would maybe want to pretend like nothing serious is happening. We need to attract attention to that, and we need to make it harder for those who would try to be silent about it.
Let me just squeeze in a quick break here. Much more with Yevgenia Kara-Mirza in just a moment.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number Smart Beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number Smart Beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. This week on Chasing Life...
I'm sorry that the Great Barrier Reef is no longer great, that we value Amazon much more than the Amazon. and that the waterfront neighborhood where you were growing up could be condemned by rising seas before you're old enough to apply for a mortgage.
That's my friend Bill Weir, CNN's chief climate correspondent. He's optimistic about the planet, and he's optimistic about our ability to take care of it. Listen to Chasing Life wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back here on the Reliable Sources podcast. I'm Brian Stelter. We taped this interview with Yevgenia Kara-Mirza in part for Sunday's Reliable Sources broadcast on television. But we wanted to present the entire interview for you here on the podcast so you can hear Kara-Mirza in her own words sharing the story of her family's ordeal. So let's go ahead and pick up here about halfway through. I asked her about the many different roles, the many different hats that her husband has worn over the years. Your husband's worn many hats over the years. Politician, as you said, author, historian, contributing columnist for The Washington Post. Tell us about that dynamic between politician and journalist or writer. It's something that we don't see as often in the United States, but we do see it in other countries where, you know, advocating, you know, politically on one moment and then writing and producing media the next moment. Was that something that came and comes naturally to him? And do you see any tension between those roles?
Vladimir is a Renaissance man. He is definitely many things in one. And I believe that throughout his work, those many things that he does, they're like pieces of the same puzzle, really. Hmm. Journalism has always been important to him because this is a way to provide people with objective information about truth. This is a way to diffuse truth, to speak about what is really happening. So journalism has always been important to Vladimir. But he has always seen himself as a politician, when we talk about journalism in today's Russia, we talk about a very difficult situation. The Russian population, the majority of the Russian population that still relies on TV as the main source of information has not had access to one single independent TV channel for over a decade.
Wow.
And the remaining three popular media outlets in Russia were closed down by the authorities at the beginning of the war. The Echo of Moscow radio station was closed down at the very beginning of the war. In early March, Novaya Gazeta, TV Dosht, that only operated online, was closed down. And in late March, Novaya Gazeta suspended its publications in an attempt to protect its employees from persecution. So these were the last three independent media outlets in Russia readily available to the Russian population. They're now gone. Countless journalists were forced to leave the country because they've been designated foreign agents, because they are, and because they also believe that they would be able to continue their work from outside. Their very important work of creating content and providing those Russians in Russia who do want to get access to objective, independent information, provide them with this informational content. And countless journalists had to relocate their activities elsewhere, and they are continuing their very important work. When we talk about Russia, beside those independent media outlets, the Russian government also blocked access to social platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, because they were also used to spread information, spread objective information. The only way to access those blocked websites and blocked social media platforms are by using VPN services. And the younger Russian population that is online more and understands more about the situation, they are trying to use these VPN services to access independent information. The trouble is, I've heard reports about the Russian authorities trying to find ways to block those VPN services. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but this is, they know that Russians are trying to access objective information, and they're trying to prevent them from doing this. Task of providing the Russian population with genuine, truthful information is extremely important. And I do admire all the journalists that continue their work, even if they were forced to flee the country. I admire their work in trying to provide Russians with information by creating this content and by looking for ways to make it accessible to Russians back home.
Right. And as I mentioned, he was writing for the Washington Post. You're there in Washington now. Has the Post been helpful? Have you been getting the support you need now that he's been behind bars for many, many weeks?
Yes, absolutely. Washington Post has been extremely helpful in making my husband's case as visible as possible, and by talking about mass repressions in Russia, and by talking about other political prisoners as well, because there are hundreds of political prisoners across Russia right now serving unlawful prison sentences for their opposition to the regime and to the war in Ukraine. And I am truly thankful for all the help that I'm receiving from everywhere. And I know that I am getting all this attention and all this help because of my husband's work, because over the years he's touched so many hearts by his commitment to his cause, by his genuine belief that Russia deserves better, and by being committed to doing everything possible to make sure that this regime falls and we can build something new back home.
Vladimir just had a new piece for the Washington Post this week titled "The Worst Nightmare for Political Prisoners," saying that the worst nightmare is to be forgotten. How did he get this out of jail? How is he able to communicate from jail, from prison?
It is getting increasingly difficult, I can tell you. Yesterday, Moscow's notorious Basmani court extended my husband's pretrial detention until the 12th of August, and we know that this is not the end. They try to make court proceedings as close to the public as possible. Yesterday, five diplomats from different embassies in Moscow, including the U.S. embassy, were banned from entering the courtroom. They're trying to prevent access to my husband, and they're trying to make court proceedings as close to the public as possible, because they know that voices like Vladimir's are heard, and they know that the Russian authorities know that Vladimir cannot be prevented from continuing his work if he's just put behind bars. He will look for ways to continue working. He will look for ways to continue speaking up. And this is why they're doing it. They're trying to put him in extreme isolation. And this is happening to many other voices across Russia. The Russian authorities are trying to silence them. They're trying to prevent them from continuing speaking up, and we need to fight that.
What are you telling your three children about their father and about what might happen to him?
I'm telling them the truth. We've never tried to hide the truth from the kids. Especially now, we have two teenagers in residence, so it's hard to, it would be hard to hide the truth from them even if I wanted to. They're online more than I ever will be, and they know everything that's happening around the world. They are, of course, very worried for their father's safety, and they want him home. For them, he's not a politician, he's not a journalist, not a historian, he's their daddy. He's the one who grills meat on the weekends, he's the one who teaches them how to drive the car, he's the one who reads them books at bedtime. So it's I cannot imagine how hard and frightening this all is for them. But I think that at the same time they realize who their father is, because they know about his work. And I think that they're proud of him. I do hope that they're proud of him, because they should be. Hmm.
I notice that you are, as you're speaking about Vladimir, you're also calling out the larger repression that's ongoing in Russia, and pointing out the other prisoners whose names are not known, who at least not known around the world. How do you see this ending? Or do you see this ending? How do you see this story ending?
See, every single dictator in the history believed himself to be untouchable, believed himself to be, I don't know, believed his regime, for his regime to be forever? I don't know. Every single dictator believed that he could actually get away with it. So I think that the main thing now is to not let Mr. Putin get away with what he's doing, both in Russia and in Ukraine, because he is destroying two countries at the same time. We see this happening. He's trying to silence all dissent in Russia by imprisoning thousands of Russians, and he is killing thousands of Ukrainians. He was just trying to erase the country from the face of the earth. He cannot be allowed to do that. Every bully, every unchecked bully, will just go on wanting more. Every bully who is not punished for his actions will just become meaner and will want more. And we've seen this happening even with just Mr. Putin's regime. All his military enterprises of the past did not receive the proper reaction from the West. So the annexation of Crimea, his invasion of Georgia, the bombing of Syria. So he ended up by being emboldened by this impunity and by believing that he could actually get away with anything. So this war in Ukraine is the result of the years of impunity of Mr. Putin's regime. So we cannot allow for this to go on. He cannot be allowed to win this war, or to even represent something as a victory in this war. He cannot be just given a part of the territory of the sovereign state of Ukraine to appease him, because Mr. Putin is a bully. A bully does not see compromises as compromises. He sees us as weaknesses of his opponents. So the West cannot continue looking to appease Mr. Putin, or looking to find compromises in dealing with him. He will only see it as a weakness, and he will push forward.
I hope we can talk again another time on a much more positive in a much more positive environment when there's good news about your husband and so many others.
There will be.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me here today.
And that's all for this edition of the Reliable Sources podcast. Thank you for tuning in and hearing Vladimir and Yevgenia Karamirza's stories. We'll see you on television this Sunday and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on CNN. Thanks for tuning in.
When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.